So we're going to rip into our interview now with our guest, Belinda Goodwin. And primarily want to talk, you were just saying, said before, all the beautiful things that are growing already. But you also are a passionate seed saver, aren't you?
Oh, yes. I'm calling myself a garden enthusiast style seed saver. It comes from years of observation, really, just seeing what plants do when they start going to seed.
And it's kind of in your blood, isn't it? You were saying off air that your father was an orchardist.
Yes. And my mum's father as well, too. My grandparents had a big orchard in Tapuna, where I spent my teenage years, actually, on a big orchard there.
Yeah.
My father had a big orchard in the Bay of Plenty, and I had my own little orchard here in Raglan until a couple of years ago.
And what did your grandma grow, do you remember?
A variety of everything that people wanted to eat and they could sell. And it kind of changed, like with my dad's orchard, it was more commercial, so what would sell became the main focus. But I do remember in my grandma's orchard there was a lot more variation and companion planting and flowers with crops.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Yeah.
Yeah, sort of encouraging the insects, the right kind of insects and the bees.
And where was her garden? Where was her property?
In Tapuna, in the Bay of Plenty.
Right now, okay, she was Tapuna as well, yeah. Is that mostly, is it, what is it now? Is it a lot of avocados over there, aren't there? And is there kiwi fruit as well?
Yeah, not so much. Well, there wasn't so much kiwi fruit then, but heaps of citrus. Yeah, lots of different varieties of lemons, oranges, grapefruits, main croppers. Also macadamia nuts were really popular.
Okay.
On the orchard there.
All right. And so, have you always been a passionate sort of vegetable grower? Can you remember as a kid and that growing stuff?
Yeah, well, definitely. I grew up in the desert when I was quite young, so I was excited to hear that we could grow vegetables and fruits in New Zealand. And then I just got into it since then. But I like to also sense the connection with the environment and nature. So anytime I'm in the garden, I can have a look around and see what's happening. And that's quite a good way to start when you're saving seeds. You want to keep an eye on the plant and see when it's getting to its nearly ripe stage. When they're nearly ripe, it's a good time to pull the best one out and maybe hang it up.
Yeah.
And then possibly save another seeding plant of that variety so that you can let the storm and the rain blow it around and spread the seeds around your garden.
So you save the first fruit, did you say, did you?
Save the first fruit of the tomatoes. For sure. And if I've got winter crops like purple kale, I've got green kale, pak choi, bok choy, those things that grow really good in the winter, I'll just let them go to seed at the moment, and then they'll come back next winter with their little seedlings.
Interesting. So you were saying earlier that basically let everything just go to seed. Well, not everything, but most things just go to seed, and then and just leave it, basically.
I just take one out if I want to put some in envelopes to save, and the other plant I'll just let go to seed in the garden. And I guess it does require a bigger space to be able to have that style where you can just let a plant go to seed and scatter its seeds around. But there's lots of benefits from doing that that I've discovered as well out of my observation. Is that after a heavy rain, I've got all these little microgreens of kale and the pak choi that pop up, and I can put those in the salad as well. Maybe bundle them off, take them to crop swap, share them with other fellow gardeners.
And for those who might not know anything about crop swap, what's the deal with crop swap?
Crop swap is an awesome initiative we have in Raglan. On the first and the third Sunday of every month, down at the bowling club on James Street, just come along. We ring the bell and we start swapping at 10. So the idea is to be there.
Ring the bell even.
Ring the bell, and then it's all go. we have a little karakia and a little talk about being polite to those with shorter arms and not so faster legs as you as we go around swapping.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a little talk about who you are and what you've brought along to swap. So come down at about 9:30 and then at 10 o'clock we get into our swap. It's all over within 20 minutes. Doesn't take us long to clear the tables.
All right, yeah. So everyone just turns up with like whatever they're growing, an excess of or an abundance of their crop or whatever, and puts it on the table, and then someone else goes, oh yeah, I might take that because I don't have any of that, or is that kind of how it works?
That's
or,
how it works, yeah. Yeah. So it's not a direct swap for swap. It's mm-hmm. just like that, Craig. You just you just turn up, put whatever you've got to share on the table, and then stand back, wait for the bell to ring. Talk about what you've brought along.
Yeah.
But that's, what's cool about crop swap is that these enthusiastic style gardeners like myself, we bring along our seedlings and maybe even baby peach trees that have just popped up in our garden.
Mm-hmm.
And we're noticing, I hear people say, oh, look, I can share some of your dirt into my garden. So.
Yeah,
and that's therefore cool. Sharing our seeds and all the microorganisms from each other's gardening.
Mm-hmm.
It's a passionate gardener thing.
All right, okay. And you also swap seeds as well there? Or?
Yes, for sure. Mm. So I like packaging up my seeds in big envelopes. I'll put them all in a big envelope. And then if I've got crop swap, I'll package those into smaller envelopes and just put those on the table to swap. So seeds go really good. And then, of course, if I've got excess, I'll just bring them down here to our Fine Grower Environment Centre. And Time Bank people package those up for us as well. So it's a real community effort here, collaboration between gardeners.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. And there's also a pumpkin growing competition or something, isn't there?
Yes.
When's that go down?
So usually around the end of March, beginning of April,
all right.
We have our annual pumpkin fest. And it's been announced in the paper for the last few years.
Right.
Yeah. We have pumpkin art. We have pumpkin baking. We have the normal divisions, which is the biggest pumpkin, the pumpkin with the widest girth, the heaviest pumpkin.
Yeah.
We also have the most perfectly formed smallest pumpkin.
Right. Okay.
So, yes, something there for all pumpkin enthusiasts.
All right. Yeah. Well, that's cool. I've never actually been to one. I must get myself down to the next one in March when it goes down. Yeah.
Mm. We have usually around at least 50 or more on average people come to our crop swaps now in Ragland.
Oh, really?
It's a fantastic community event.
Yeah, okay. And the seeds, of course, I forgot to mention, I usually do, there's a free Aroha seed stand just out in the entrance way to the town hall there. And, you can go... Just come along, folks, and you can grab, there's the seeds there, and I've got some potting mix and some little trays and that to take. So you would do is take them home, basically give them the water, and voila, there's your seeds there. And you were just saying before that, Belinda, that some of your seeds were on those stands.
Yes. I feel quite privileged, actually, to donate what excess we've got to our local seed bank.
Mm-hmm.
And we have... A couple of others, one lady I know, Claire Wimmer, most of the seeds that are out there at the moment, Craig, are actually from Claire Wimmer's collection.
Okay, yeah.
And again, our Time Bank people at work have put their mahi into packaging them all up.
Yeah.
There's seeds that are good to plant now, and there's seeds that you might want to save until the winter. But something to keep us going all year round, which is a fantastic way to celebrate the growing seasons that we have here in Ragland.
All right.
You can grow things in the winter, spring, autumn. There's seeds to save for all of our seasons here.
That's fantastic, isn't it? Yeah. It's got to be good for the food resilience too in the community. Just in case there's any more lockdowns or a natural disaster or whatever happens like that. Perhaps Ragland could keep itself fed maybe even one day. Well, maybe even today.
It all starts from saving your seeds.
Mm-hmm. And what's the different tactics for different seeds, Belinda, when you go to save them? Say, you eat a delicious tomato, What do you do with tomato seeds, say? Let's start with that one.
Well, that's a great question, Craig. I've found a couple of these things out from trial and error.
Mm-hmm.
I used to just, with my tomatoes, spread them out on some waxproof paper.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned after the first year or so that they do need to be washed and dried. Washing all the flesh off the fleshy seeds, like the tomato seeds, pumpkins, capsicums, courgettes, will help to prevent them from rotting. And also there's these little mite bugs that come and eat through the envelope and eat into the seed. And, yeah, that doesn't happen if you wash them and dry them out. So you just wash them. It's a little bit fiddly.
How would you do that? Yeah.
Well, I've discovered after the waxproof paper method,
yes,
I found that the mesh that you put over top of your caravan windows in the summer to keep the mozzies out, and you can use that, you can lie that out, spread your seeds out on there after you've washed them, so like wash them in the sieve and then spread them out and just leave them for a week or two to dry on there out of the sun.
Right, okay.
And from there you can put them into your paper envelope, and then maybe when they're dry you'll package them up more separately, mm-hmm. and put them in a jar. So if you put them in a jar and they're thoroughly dry, they'll be good for a couple of years in there.
Okay.
So that's the fleshy summer fruit method of saving seeds.
Sounds a good one, yeah.
And in the winter, like the crops that I've got that are going to seed in my garden at the moment are the pak choi and the kale, even the asparagus. I've got fennel that are starting to go to seed as well.
Mm-hmm.
So those seeds, they're pretty dry and they don't need to be washed. They're also, for all the brassicas, they're still in there. Cool little packages. So I'll just take that whole plant out of the ground and hang it upside down, let it dry out in the shed, and then I can carefully take all those seed pods off when they're really dry, put them in a paper bag, give it a good shake, get most of them out like that. And then go through the fiddly work of separating all the chard off. There's a few different ways to do that. I can kind of stand in the wind with all the seed pods in a bowl and the light stuff will blow away. Give it a shake and the seeds end up in the bottom of the bowl.
Yeah, all right. Yeah.
Yeah, just a garden enthusiast style, not too fussy with these things. Yeah. And then just package them up into an envelope. Remember to write on the date.
Yeah.
And what time they're good for.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then, of course, I was, like we were saying before, I'll let some of those big seed plants stay in the garden so that the storm and the wind can spread them around the whole property.
Perfect. Yeah. So you might just get them popped up everywhere and anywhere. Yeah.
They tend to do that. Yeah. It's always a surprise where they're going to grow, under the fruit trees or even in the garden path. I'll have celeries popping up.
Mm-hmm. And fruit trees, I know you're a... You were saying before about if you eat a lovely nectarine or a peach or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So in the summer, if you're biting into a peach and thinking, wow, this is the best peach I've had, that's the one you want to plant.
Mm-hmm.
So before it dries out, just put it in a little pot with some soil about three inches deep under the surface. And then patience is the key here. Take around 2 to 6 months to actually grow peach trees, nectarine trees, plum trees, and they will grow true to type from the seed. So if you were to eat, if it's a black boy peach and you plant that seed, it will come up a black boy peach.
Right, okay. And I heard a story, but you were just telling me earlier as well that it's not actually the case. I heard from somewhere, I think, anyways, and that if you like eat an avocado and you plant the seed, always thought that it wouldn't grow at all. But you were saying, yes, it does. It just takes ages.
Yes, avocados do. They're a little bit different. Avocados, they can take 15 to 20 years to actually fruit, but they will be true to type again from that seed.
Right, okay. Yeah, yeah. What are the veggies and fruit trees we are missing out here that we haven't talked about yet, seed saving?
Well, we've got some fruits that grow particularly well, I've discovered in Raglan. And the red cherry guava is one of them. Pretty
red
popular in,
guava,
in,
right?
Yeah, in yeah. Raglan Gardens.
Yeah.
Really high in vitamin C. I was actually talking to a Raglan lady the other day who's got some in a big... I got one in a big pot right outside her door, and she'll go out and just grab a couple off every time she's leaving the house, a little vitamin C hit before you run out the door.
Nice. I don't know if I've eaten one of those. You look kind of sweet and tasty, are they?
They have. I'm sure you have, Craig. They're pretty okay. common, yeah. They're about cherry size, and they're quite tarty, and the little seeds from those are easy to save. You just wash them out, give them a good wash, dry them out.
Okay. Have you ever grown bananas from seed?
Not from seed.
Yeah. I was thinking about that. Usually it's just like from cuttings now, don't you do bananas? Is that
from
right?
cuttings?
Yeah. Is it?
But I reckon, being a seed saver, if you were to plant a banana as it's really ripe off a banana tree in the ground, those bananas that grow well in Ragland here, the little ladyfinger variety, they will grow. Can't see why they wouldn't.
Could be a good experiment to do. Yeah. Okay. What other fruit and seeds? In your orchard, you had what different varieties of fruit trees did you have out there?
Macadamia nuts.
They grow well?
They do. They grow really well here in Raglan.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like the southerly wind, so they need to be a little bit sheltered from frost in the first couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And similar to the avocado, they will fruit, but they'll take about 8 to 10 years if they're not grafted.
Right, okay.
Yeah. And the advantages of not grafting the tree is that they're actually a lot stronger tree. The graft can be quite weak and temperamental and even risky for the first year or so if you're going to see how well that graft takes.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've got the patience and the space and the time, just leave that tree as a little sapling, and when it comes up, it will eventually fruit.
Okay, yeah. All right. What other nut trees grow well around here, do you know?
Walnuts.
Walnuts, do they?
Yeah. Okay. All nut trees will grow really well here in Raglan. We've got a fantastic climate for nut trees.
Yeah.
Another popular thing here in Raglan is berries, so they grow really well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not encouraging the blackberries that will take over the swamps and farmer's paddock.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's a few more tamer varieties. We have the hybrid loganberry, and also the thornless blackberries. So these are my favourites to have in the garden. They grow amazingly well here in Raglan.
Okay. Loganberries. I wonder if I've ever eaten one of a loganberry before.
They're like a cross between a boysenberry and a blackberry.
Okay. I love both those things. So, yeah. I can't see
what... Particularly large fruit.
All right. Okay. Awesome. What else? What else? You bought some seeds in there. I mean, seeds. Some notes in there. So, anything else you want to cover?
Well, I have a fun fact for you, actually, Craig.
Ah, yes, yes. What's that?
So, in the beginning of World War II, the bomber planes that went out, the first buildings that they bombed were the seed banks in the town.
Yeah. That's something I didn't know.
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
That's how important it is for us seed savers to save seeds. And that's how precious our seeds are. Yeah, those guys knew that it would be much harder for a little town to recover without their seed banks.
Okay. And so, yeah, that's fascinating, isn't it? Yeah, I wonder how they figured that out. Spies, I suppose. Where's your seeds? Cruising around, everyone asking. Yeah. All right, so if anyone's out there and I'm a bit shy, I don't really know what to do as far as saving seeds and things goes, what do you encourage them to do, Belinda?
I'd say just come down here to WEC at the town hall and take advantage of their little seed stand.
Mm-hmm.
Their seed stand down here, they've got these little containers, some dirt, and you can go through and just have a look what'll grow now.
Mm-hmm.
I'd also encourage definitely talking to your neighbours and having a look what they've got in their garden. That's always a great tip. You'll see that whatever grows well in your neighbour's garden is probably going to grow in your garden.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
share some gardening tips with your neighbours.
Yeah.
And come along to Crop Swap. That'll get you started.
Yeah, with some other enthusiastic gardeners. And also Time Bank. Hey, they did quite a few gardening things involved with that, aren't there?
We have a tool sharing shared at Time Bank.
Oh, yes, that's right too, yeah. And that's located, actually, that's open today as well, folks. If you go next door here from Raglan Community Radio HQ here in the Town Hall, the Fine Art Environment Centre is right there next door. And, they've got a tool library there, which is open on Wednesday. So that'll be open. I think Jasmine's in there now, so you can carry along there and look at getting some tools. So, yes, is that as well. All right, Melinda, anything else you want to add about saving seeds for today? And I know you're also a passionate grafter and trimmer and pruner. We might save that for another day. That's a separate topic, those chats. Yeah,
I can say with saving seeds, I'd say start easy. Mm-hmm. Have a look at plants that you particularly like and just let them go to seed. Come out and observe the seasons. Make sure you gather those seeds if you know a big storm's coming.
Okay.
Yeah, start simple.
That's excellent advice. There we go, folks. Save your own seeds and start simple. And yeah, there's a lot of passionate gardeners around, so you can go. There's a lot of people you can talk to in town if you want to get into it, and you should, ladies and gentlemen, get into it. And thanks for coming in, Belinda. Really appreciate your time coming
You're
in
welcome.
Here to talk about seed saving today. And so there you are, folks. Seed saving with Belinda Goodwin, and we'll have her back on again probably to talk. If you want to come back on, Belinda, that is. You were a little nervous. How are you feeling now?
I've got some more secrets to share for sure about orcharding.
Oh, okay. There we go. There we go. There's a little tease for the next show, isn't there, folks? So, thanks again, Belinda. Appreciate
it. You're welcome. Thank you, Craig.